Oh, I'm out of time. Ethan, remember this part. I see you crying, baby. I'm crying with you. Don't stop crying. Shoot. I was thinking the other day, I said, every time I think a tear coming, I'm going to let it out. Yeah, I'm starting to enjoy my tears. They're God's outlet for my emotions. I ain't hold nothing in. If I'm in church, if I see somebody I ain't saw in a while, if I see some on TV, I'm going to cry and say, God, thank you. Go ahead and cry, baby. Don't even try to hold it. Let it out, because you don't know what somebody's enduring in this place. For 20 years, I've been telling you're behind, and you get tired of hearing it, that you're the Moses of your family. Yeah. If they're going to be delivered, it's probably going to be because of you. God bless mama and them, but they ain't got nothing. No spiritual strength, no money, no plans. It's probably going to be you. If your family's last name is ever going to mean something, it's probably going to be you. Now, you can embrace that or run from it. You're the Moses of your family, which means God is giving you an assignment, and he's going to give you strength for the assignment. Receive it. It's going to get rough sometime. Your sister won't do right. Your brother in jail. Mama immature. Daddy missing. Call Sharon. Call Tisha. Call John. Call Mo. Everything. Call Mo. Well, what Ma say? What sister say? So mama calling you because she mad at sister. Sister calling you because she mad at mama. And nobody got no money. You got to pay for proms, nieces, nephews. Make sure mama okay. And you're like, how am I going to do this? He'll give you If I'm preaching to somebody, stand up and say, this word is for me. Hey, outsiders, teenagers, here's what tripped me out. Even the youth. Wow. Are we unearthing a most familiar pericope? Because all of us kind of know this, but don't. Even hebraically, the nar. Hebraically, it means from birth to adolescence. So youth there means the same that it does hebraically as it does in American context. Youth, from birth to adolescence, even the youth. Man, that's why God gave me this sermon. That's outsiders. YF, come here, young followers. And young men, if they were the same thing, there's no wasted ink in the Bible. Even the youth, pause. And the young men, another category. Youth and young adults, youth shall faint and be weary. What? Teenagers. They were telling me, Pastor, we love when you preach to us. Well, maybe that's why I'll get to hang around another decade, because I'm going to try to preach intergenerationally so that smart people, not so smart people, prison people, young people, everybody leave out saying, he said something to me. Even, what you? You ain't even 11, 13. You ain't been through nothing. Watch this. What you got to be weary about? You, mama. The hypocrisy that is you. Going to church, leaving me. Talking about you love Jesus, don't even take me with you. Half the time, trying to be my age instead of your age. The man of the month. Talking about that's my uncle. I ain't got that many uncles. Stop saying they're my uncles. That ain't my uncle. The man whose features are all over my face has never been here for my birthday. Social media, TikTok, all the girls look perfect. I don't. And so there's this comparison, and I feel like I'm not pretty, or I feel like I don't have enough, or I blame my daddy's absence on me. I'm not trying to stay here, but if I don't preach this, I got to deal with the Lord. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. Start vaping just to get away from the reality that is my existential me. I'd rather vape. I'd rather lose myself swiping left. Here it is again, with a spiritual life that is bereft, missing, not there. And then young men, Mike, pretty Mike, you see me, raise your hand. I love you, boy. Young men, yeah. Young men shall utterly fall. They'll fall into the reality of the most beautiful women a man could see being a swipe away. And without a real kind of spiritual tenacity, how do you not look? How do you not fall prey to what society tells you you have to have? Come here, young ladies. Young men shall utterly fall. Y'all ready to shout? Wait a minute. So I thought I understood this text because it says, can I have 3 minutes? Say yes, Pastor. Even the nar, hebraically, babies to adolescents, shall faint and be weary. Young adults, YF, young people are gonna fall. That's pessimistic. That's sad. I've been sad. And then Holy Ghost said, keep reading. If you are a nar with no God, no Bible study, no youth minister, no pastor, no relevant church, nothing to assist your mother, nothing to assist your parents, you probably gonna faint and be weary. If you are a young adult in this non-God society, in this post-modernistic mandate that's being put on children and mendacity, I mean that, untruths, lies, they lying to you. You are probably going to faint and be weary, and those of you are, you probably going to fall. But those that wait, y'all missed it. In other words, Isaiah says, it don't have to be you. It don't have to be you. But those that wait on the Lord, no matter what your mama did, no matter what society says, he shall renew. Oh, help me preach this. No matter if your father's missing, what your mama does, if you wait. Which means when my mother and father forsake me, David said the Lord will take me up. I don't care what other young people are doing. If I wait on the Lord, I'm gone. Y'all pray for Pastor. When God speak, I just try to listen. Sometimes I hit him. Prayerfully, I hit him most of the time. Sometimes I miss him. All I know, I call my media team in and say, because I'm laying there, and it's 5-2. It's the ninth inning. I'm sleepy. I got to preach. I'm feeling that feeling of needing a therapist again. And then this happened. Play the sound too. wait. Kava means to wait with anticipation. It means to wait actively. Kava does not mean, girl, man, how come you ain't got no job? Put some applications in. I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, it means to wait actively. It is to work while you wait. It is to wait with anticipation, which means, Alpha bruh, that no matter how bad the score was last night, the reason why I couldn't quite go to sleep, because I had a feeling, I feel like having church, that they just might win. I got a word for every young person, young adult, people my age, senior citizen, have church with me while you're waiting on God. Keep working with God, because you never know when God's going to bring you out. But you just can't wait passively. You got to wait actively. Pastor, I am waiting on my husband. Well, the stats say that only 1 in 4 black women will ever even get proposed to. That's not theology, that's math. There's not enough black men based on those who are incarcerated, those who like each other, and then those who just don't want to be married. Who does that leave for safe, pretty, available women? Pastor, that's kind of sad. I guess you haven't been listening to me. I thought you knew he was sovereign. I thought you knew he can give you strength. But then lastly, let's just tear the church up and go watch the game. I thought you knew he could do the supernatural. Pastor, I hear there's not enough men for available black women. All the single women, jump up on your feet right quick. Point at somebody and say, that's too bad for you. But what God has for me, he can supernaturally let me be the 1 out of 4, because I'm walking right and living right. And if I wait on the Lord and actively wait, which means put on some makeup, lose some weight, get yourself together, pay your credit down, come to church, go to therapy with your cuckoo self, and then wait. Stand to your feet, I'm done, come on. Don't nobody walk, shh, ushers, doors are closed. If nobody's dead, shh, and there's no emergency in your life, don't walk until I give the benediction or the blessing over your life. I thought you knew. Isaiah said that he's sovereign. I thought you knew he could give you strength. I thought you knew he can do the supernatural. That is, put his super on your natural. I'm waiting on the Lord to do things in this church that you have not seen. But this has probably been my most productive summer as your pastor. I want every inch of this building to look like the Taj Mahal, particularly that sportsplex, because the Holy Spirit told me, I said the Holy Spirit, they've been coming by the thousands for years. Stop me when I'm lying. Stop me when I'm lying. They've been coming by the thousands for years, young people, to this church. And God said, post-pandemic, get ready. He's going to do it again. I need some time to let us break it in. Some church leagues, some church activities. For 10 years, wonderful young children, my brothers of another color, were in our building, paying us to be here. During the pandemic, Holy Spirit said, ask everybody respectfully to leave. I don't want that anymore. Thank you, but tithes and offerings will take care of us. I'm giving the building to the people who paid for it. Amen. And so something told me, make this place something they're proud of, and I did not wait on LED angels or painting angels or basketball floor angels or indoor track angels. Still need somebody to help me name field number two, because in about 30 days it will not be field number two. It's going to have, tell them what you're going to do. Listen, leaders, tell them what you did. Tell them what you're going to do. Tell them what you're doing. Leadership 101. Tell them what you did. Tell them what you're doing. Tell them what you're going to do. In about 30 days, you're going to see field number two. It's going to have brand new carpet, not turf, LED lighting, and the most beautiful paint job you've ever seen. It's going to look like something that you can have a conference in. In about another week or two, the Hub Ministry Room will have its grand opening, everybody, on church anniversary. I'm just teaching you what I'm saying. I'm not waiting on God. I'll be here every day making sure it happens. I'm working with God. What is God calling you to do? As you wait on him, work with him. You pray. You read that Bible. You come every Sunday. You grab your wife and say, no more asking me to go to church. Now, there's a lot of things you do better than me, but I'll be darned if you're going to lead us when it comes to God. I'm the priest of my house. I know that's old-fashioned. I know in this society and genderless place we live in, I don't need no man to lead me. That's why you're by yourself. That's not the only reason, but I'm serious. I want a man to speak into my life. And if you're leading right, brother, I don't care how much money I got, I still want to follow the leadership of a good man with my children. So I challenge every husband here to grab your family and say, we're going to God.
Word Church First Annual Field Day, this Saturday, October 22nd, from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Word Church's Sportsplex. Tug of war, potato sack races, kickball, relay, basketball, flag football, food, and more. Register today at the Sportsplex.
Hey family, this year, October 31st, it is going down right here at the Word Church. We are going to have Hallelujah Night, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. right in the R.A. Vernon building. Parents, come out and enjoy this amazing event with your kids. There's going to be food, there's going to be games, there's going to be activities, and of course, lots and lots of candy. We're going to have an awesome time in the name of the Lord and none of that other stuff, right? So make sure you come out with your family Monday, October 31st, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the R.A. Vernon building. We'll see you there.
Word Church family, it is church anniversary time. November 2nd, it's the kickoff to 22 years. We're having the one and only Marcus D. Wiley come out for the comedy show of the year. If you want to laugh, cry out loud, and have a good time, this is the show you just can't miss. And then that Sunday, November 6th, we're starting the party all over again at 10:30, and we want you to meet us for our Sunday service. If you believe in the impact and the legacy that we've had over 22 years, we're asking 100 families to give $2,222 for 22 years. Or
every October, people all over the world show their support for everyone affected by breast cancer. Be sure to check your breasts, look for changes, and follow up with any changes with your general practitioner. Ladies, be sure to get your annual mammogram.
The Word Church and the Cleveland Department of Public Health have partnered to provide a weekly health and wellness clinic every Tuesday from 10 o'clock a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. at the Word Church Outreach and Event Center, located at 5900 Kinsman Road. It's open to everyone with no appointments necessary, and you don't even need health insurance. Confidential care and counseling is provided by licensed healthcare professionals, and everyone is served regardless of their ability to pay. For more information about the range of services provided, or if you'd like to schedule an appointment, please call 216-664-7095. Looking for a quiet, peaceful space to pray? We have the perfect place for you. Located in the R.A. Vernon Building, our prayer room is back open Sundays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., First Wednesdays from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and all other Wednesdays from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Be sure to kick off your Saturday with prayer at the Word Church. Fire in the Morning happens every Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time via conference call. Just call 339-209-5611 and take part in our powerful prayer and
God bless you. We hope that this message has encouraged your heart. We invite you to come worship with us at our Sunday school service beginning at 9 a.m., our morning worship service at 11 a.m., Bible study every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. If you would like to correspond with this ministry, you can write us at 2627 Willow Glen Road, Alexandria, Louisiana. Again, thank you and may God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
To the 18th chapter, the book of St. John. Let us notice the 18th verse. St. John 18th chapter, the 18th verse.
I see.
And the servant and officers stood there who had made a fire of coal. For it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself.
He did that.
Our message today, build your own fire. Build your own fire. Why don't you say it after me? Build your own fire.
Your own fire.
God bless you. Our Lord Jesus Christ here during the time of our text had already been convicted and arrested. He was taken before Pilate to be judged. His disciples went along with him to the judgment hall. John, one of his very close friends, followed Jesus all the way on the inside. But Peter stopped on the outside near the door where some of the officers of the enemy had built a fire and were warming themselves.
Yes.
John says here it was very cold. You see, there are two types of coldness. Physical coldness, and you have to look at the spiritual coldness. Yeah. Evidently here, Peter was cold both ways.
Yeah.
We notice in and around Jerusalem during the time of the text, the temperature around Jerusalem had fallen below zero, both inside and outside. If a person had gotten cold, there was not but one way for him to get warm. He had to build his own fire, you know, warmed by somebody else's fire.
Yes, sir.
The enemies of Jesus here, we notice, had built their own fire.
Yes, sir.
And we notice here, when Jesus passed by, they were standing there warming by the fire. John went in with Jesus, but Peter was so cold he couldn't wait. Therefore he stopped outside and began warming by the wrong fire.
Yes, sir.
He warmed by the wrong fire at the wrong time, in the wrong place, and with the wrong people. We'll find here today that we can get a great lesson out of this message. Wow. Don't you see, if a child of God gets cold, he should build his own fire.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's not necessary to get embarrassed by standing around warming by the enemy's fire.
Yes, sir.
One of the big mistakes with most church folk, we warm by the devil's fire instead of building our own fire.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that right?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we're afraid to identify ourselves. We notice here in the message, Peter was asked a question. And sometimes when you're in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, it puts you on the spot. Isn't that right? They wanted to know if he were one of the disciples of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And you know the message, he said, I'm not. Immediately he realized that he was warming by the wrong fire.
Yes, sir.
And being there and being with Jesus, they could not understand why he was standing around there warming by their fire while his Savior was on the inside being tried.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that right? Sometimes we all come to the point that you might have experienced this, that we try to sometimes be what we are not.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I recall being off, and I'm not ashamed to tell this or this, that relates to me. I've always been a lover of music and some of all kinds of music. And I was off in a meeting, and the minister had placed me in the hotel here, and they had one of these bands above the room where I was living. And each night I would try to sleep, I just couldn't help but to hear the jazz music. And every now and then they would start out on a song that I remembered when I was out of that world. And the next night I said, well, I don't believe it's no harm if I would go listen. And instead of putting on a suit, I had some sport clothes. I put my sport jacket on, and I went on up and began enjoying the music. And the band leader, you know, you never know.